Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience.
I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This second-year quarterback firmly remains in the MVP conversation. Drake May, outstanding tonight.
Yeah, I think this game went about as well as Mike Vrabel could have hoped for. You know, bye week, as you mentioned, next week. Good complimentary football. Defense was excellent. Offense dominated. And then with the special teams play, just a good team win.
See that they are the first team since 99. That is Peyton Manning's Indianapolis Colts with a 10-game win streak after losing 13 or more in the previous season. That was Peyton's second year. And good things are happening. They continue to happen here.
Time now for the Six Rings postgame show, breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Winners of 10 straight, 11-2 on the season, the owners of the best record in the AFC East, the AFC, and the NFL overall. I think it is officially time that we stop saying, oh, wouldn't it be nice if the Patriots got a playoff spot? Oh, wouldn't it be nice if the Patriots won the AFC East? Oh, wouldn't it be nice if the Patriots were one of the best teams in the AFC? And embrace the idea, Andy Hart, as we head into this, another victorious edition of the Six Rings postgame show, live on WEEI and across the WEEI Sports Radio Network. I think this time, officially, following tonight's 33-15, and at times it was maybe kind of close, but it was never even really much of a football game, defeat of the They Might Be New York Football Giants, I think it is high time that we embrace the notion that your Patriots are the best team in football. That is the reality we live in. That is the reality of this football team. And no limit, no ceiling, nothing shall be placed on this team except appropriate expectations of a team that's 11-2 with the best record in football. I think this team can do anything it wants going forward, just so long as they clean up their inability to gain a yard on 3rd-and-1.
So I don't think it's a fact, but certainly a strong argument can be made, and a stronger argument by the week, by the game, by the performance, by the depth of weapons. Oh, wait, is Kyle Williams now kind of a little bit of a thing for the Patriots? Is Travion Henderson evolving into a more reliable option in the backfield? Is Christian Ellis suddenly freaking Ronnie Lott or whatever?
New England?
So I want to start there because I don't know who said what, but something was said. There's no doubt in my mind something was said many, many, many times over the course of the last week that had them lathered up and ready to hit people.
Right from Jump Street. You have to wonder, and yes, of course, here on the Six Rings postgame show, happy to have you guys wherever we have you, Odyssey app,
WEEI.com, 93.7 FM, our affiliates. Hope you guys are all getting home safe on Route 1. Probably in a little bit of Monday night traffic, but it's worth it after a win like that. I have to say, it was almost as if I couldn't decide, like, did someone kill his dog? Did someone say something about his mama? Did something say something about one of his kids, his wife? I'm not even sure if he's married. He, among many, came out tonight pissed off, angry, with a chip on their shoulder and something to prove. Almost as if, Andy, they had been listening to a narrative of, you guys are a product of your schedule. You guys aren't as good as everyone says you are. And your quarterback is overrated on top of it. And with one legally inbounds, still kind of edgy, but you know what? It counts because, hey, football is a violent sport, hit against Jackson Dart. The tone was set for the evening, and I wonder if people aren't going to expect more of those Patriots going forward than the ones that they had played leading up to tonight.
And obviously, we're talking about that hit on Jackson Dart on the sideline, Christian Ellis, which I'll be honest, live I was thinking, oh, he might get a penalty here. And then I saw it, I was like, oh, it's not a penalty. And then you listen to Troy Aikman and you remember why Troy Aikman is good and Tom Brady isn't, and there are other guys that aren't. Troy Aikman says,
I got to throw shade at the goat.
I'm just telling you, Troy Aikman says, you know, they've protected quarterbacks, and then over the years, quarterbacks started to take advantage of it. And his name is Patrick Mahomes. Also, Mac Jones was one who liked to tiptoe on the sideline and try to maybe get a little flag here
Mahomes,
or there.
Mahomes, it's right for you, and it's right for you and for Aikman and everyone else to mention that. Whenever Mahomes does that, like, oh, looks like I'm going out of bounds.
Yep.
Psych, I'm Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to get five more yards. Christian Ellis did all defenders almost like a favor tonight. Like, he got payback to all those guys that got deked and screwed by Patrick Mahomes previously. And that, again, it was no Mo Lewis on Bledsoe shot, but it probably was pretty damn loud in the stadium because it sure was at home.
Well, it was a big deal for a guy who's coming off a concussion and a few plays earlier had Harold Landry dive over the top of him and sort of hit him with his chest plate, causing a little bit of a pushing and shoving and then another pushing and shoving on the sideline, which actually got a penalty on Theo Johnson, the tight end for the Giants. But no, there was a physicality. There was a physicality in Ramondre Stevenson's game with a strong stiff arm down the sideline. He finished a couple runs. I think something somewhere was said by somebody to imply that, oh, you're soft, just like your schedule, you're fool's gold. I don't know what was manipulated or utilized to get these guys going, but they were going. And, you know, the Giants stink. Okay, you can say they're 2-11 because, well, the reality is they're 2-11. But this is what good teams do. You go out, you make plays, you play the game from in front. I told you earlier today, because yes, we did a show earlier today.
This
I told
is our
you
second radio show.
Yes, too much of you. But start fast. Like, don't let the Giants feel good. And you started fast to the point where they had a kicker who's shaving points and throwing prop bets by not kicking a field goal, and you just
kicked the turf, Andy.
I don't think he even kicked. I think he stopped, and I don't know why, other than he was watching the Cleveland Guardians, and he found out you can make a little extra coin if you say, I bet Koo misses his first field goal or doesn't kick his first field goal or takes a sack on his first field goal, and then you just do that, and some mob guy gives you $5,000.
Why? Because he's on his second team. The dude's made enough money kicking in the NFL ever since the Patriots sent
you him explain up. It then. He stopped.
I'll tell you exactly what it is. You've golfed before. I may have golfed more frequently than you.
He's a professional.
What Young Wei Koo did tonight was 1,010% what all of us, you know, weekend hackers, as my buddy Matty calls us, out there at the Munis who can't get out of a sand trap for love, sex, or money. Like, oh, just kick right behind the ball. Just, you know, just hit right behind the ball. You'll lift it right out of the trap.
A foot behind the ball?
It was, I got to say, weird, by the way, I know, like, this is part of the fun. And yes, we'll get more into some of the issues that we still want the Patriots to clean up, and we know that'll get coached up. During the week, we'll get into the lethal weapon that is Drake May on the deep ball and how he once
still can't get 300 yards, though. 282.
You know what? That's the thing. He doesn't need
it's
it.
It's kind of laughable now.
He's going to pass for like 4,400 yards in the season and maybe never get over 300 yards, which is spectacular. There's so much to praise. There are a few things to analyze and criticize. But by and large, again, as Vrabel says, a win is a win. There's no way I'm not going to let you celebrate this. They're going into their bye. 11-2, and now they get almost 2 weeks off to rest, refresh, and get reset for arguably their biggest game of the year, December 14th at home against the Buffalo Bills. And by the way, in case anyone is wondering, I do believe you need to give the league and the networks 12 days notice in order to be able to flex that game out into a different time slot. It is scheduled to be a 1 o'clock game. I think if people wanted to, they could make that a 4 o'clock game. because it's kind of be a pretty massive affair. I wouldn't be surprised if they move it. But we're allowed to have a little fun with Kuz's absolute whiff and where that compares to Pat McAfee's famous fake punt formation fiasco from 10 years ago. It's one of the great all-time fails and miscues in NFL history. But when you're the Giants and you've got some talent on the field, but you're pretty discombobulated, that's what happens to you. When you're the New England Patriots and everything is going your way, even when you're starting 40% of a new offensive line tonight and got a bunch of guys we barely learned the name of on the other side of the ball too, these are your breaks. Oh, and by the way, Andy, here's Mike Vrabel. Okay, as is often the case on the post-game show, we had Vrabel right into Drake May as well. That was a very upbeat Mike Vrabel, like I was saying, who will be mustachioless come tomorrow as well. Who's going to enjoy a second little bye like they did after the Jets game. And Drake May, yeah, sounds like he's in a pretty good space right now as well, Andy. But it's almost now like we've come to expect this for this very mature young man who I guess is at the height of his powers, or has he even discovered them at this point, and doesn't even really seem certain. He parabolically deflects and sends a lot of compliments back to other people. Maybe that's the way he was raised. Maybe he's just shy like that. But yeah, they're all in a really good place right now, and they've got a week and a half to heal themselves up before their biggest game of the season. As a Patriots fan, you gotta love everything you heard.
Well, you have to love everything Drake May brings. On the field, off the field, just you watch a pregame interview on ESPN, you hear his press conference during the week. It's like he just doesn't stumble. Like, you just don't have that moment where you're like, oh, there's the – he's been faking it for months. No, no, no. Like, I've started to just accept this is him. He is this – mature and humble and, you know, beyond his years, but also some genuine nature to him. You know, I'm big with that word, you know, over the years, Rob Gronkowski, people that are able to remain genuine to who they are through success. Mm-hmm. And it's looking like Drake is going to be one of those guys. He was asked during last week about, have you kind of come to grips with your stardom and, you know, how it changes? And he's like, I'm not going to change. You know, I'll do some things. I think he referenced his family. You know, I'll do some things to protect the people around me, but I'm just going to be the same guy. I'm going to go out to dinner. I'm going to, you know, take pictures. I'm going to sign autographs because that's who he is. And I love that about him because I think mm-hmm. now, we'll see. I believe he said something like, we'll see if I can do that. Or like he had a phrase in there because I think even he was like, I'm going to have $500 million soon. Will mm-hmm. I be the exact same guy when I have $500 million in my bank account? Let's find out.
Yeah. You wonder if also like tonight, did he go out there purposefully with no gloves on, no scuba Tom neoprene suit, just a T-shirt, jersey, shells, helmet. You know, full hardo move. Like, oh, we were wondering, like, there at one point you're like, oh, the, earlier on the, I called it the pregame show. It was just our afternoon show. Just like, oh,
that was a few hours ago. Tonight.
I was just so many shows, so many football thoughts, but like, you know, like, oh, it could be in the 20s. Like this could weather be a factor tonight? Didn't bother nope. either team a lick. And you would never guess that Drake May, who was raised in the, positively temperate climate of North Carolina, had never spent much time in the as Gronk used to say, freezy freeze of Foxborough.
I thought he was bawling early with his, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes they differentiate between like accuracy and ball placement. And, you know, there was that one to Diggs where he put it perfectly for him to catch and run with it. Now there was one with Henderson that was a little bit behind him, but sure. Gotta be honest with you, with Travion Henderson, sometimes I still wonder, could it be him that's not quite in the same spot? That
yeah, Henderson had more a pre-Tampa night than he did like a Tampa or Jets night yep. tonight. You know what I mean?
But it was fine. I'm just, you know, Drake has reached the point where as if there's a little bit of question with a receiver, timing, anything, I'm like, nah, Drake seems like he's always right. So you better get on the same page with Drake, Mr. Tight End, wide receiver, running back, whoever you are.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I thought he looked really good. And those questions are lessening and lessening for me as he plays in the rain, as he plays in a 20-degree game. Now, you know, there's still wind and snow on the horizon, but that ball he threw to Kyle Williams, beautiful. The booty mm-hmm. ball, beautiful. Even some of the incompletions, I mean, he hit Hunter Henry, I think, in the face mask on the goal line with one of those. And Hunter Henry, yep, I think, knew it. Even
threw the hands to the chops. Yep.
The fade to Diggs, you know, on the goal line. I don't, you know, he gave his receiver a shot.
That much better.
No, it was. He didn't have a lot of errant throws, as I like to say. He was feeling it. I thought he made. You know what? The other thing that was really on full display was the difference a year can make, or whatever, the difference between him and Jackson Dart, who's frenetic and kind of frantic out there and like chicken with his head cut off, talented, can make throws, can make plays with his legs, but there's just a helter-skelterness.
Yeah.
Whereas Drake, I think, looked a little bit more like that last year when he was the rookie, when he was the young guy. And now it's just a little bit more cool, calm, collected. That one play early where it was Burns and Phillips, I think, was the DB blitzing. And he should have been dead to rights. Mm-hmm. And he just kind of stepped out of it and calmly threw it away down the sideline. That play, to me, was the evolution of Drake May. Hey, Brian Burns, is he too poised? Because he sure as crap looked too poised on that play when he left you in the dust and then casually threw it away to make sure he didn't take a loss. So take your two poised and stick it up your keister, Burns.
Yeah, 3 sacks on the night for 6 yards total, but he did navigate and climb the pocket quite well a number of times in the evening. Barely a ball really looked like it was misplaced, ill-timed, or poorly thrown. Some of those deep passes, like the one to Kyle Williams, the little fade to Booty for 6 as well, was just absolutely gorgeous. Like, he was dialed in early on. I do want to eventually get in during the course of tonight's postgame show to A, why this team has the red zone issues they have. B, how the hell
never third happy. One this Fitzy guy never
why happy. Is this why is third and one a thing for them as well? And also,
so like, they started skipping it, just go deep, touchdown, boom.
May also said it's funny, like tonight they didn't allow the Giants to score in the opening drive. They allowed the Giants to score like a few plays a few series later, and that was almost like the, oh, that's what my blood tastes like. That was the pop and the chops they needed to come to respond, and then they got feisty for several quarters worth, and it was much more enjoyable for Pats fans to watch as well. But I do wonder why they just can't put it away. Like, you know, they get paid too,
Fitzy.
Yeah, I know they get paid. You know, any given Monday night, bro. Yeah, but May made a point of saying as much in his presser, like they have to finish stronger. I'm sure Vrabel would say the same as well.
Yeah, because he's nitpicking. He's got to find something with his 11-2 football team.
Well, my local Carvel is closed, and so is the Packy, so you'll have to excuse me if I can't run out and get a Fudgy the Whale and a bottle of Bubbles to celebrate right now.
The freaking team is just rolling, and they're leaving everybody in the wake. He's got to nitpick something.
No.
What do you want him to say? All right, guys, you know what? I'll see you in the Super Bowl. You guys are perfect.
You don't get to do this because tonight you're going to try to play the part of like, I'm the one. I am your champion, Foxborough. Then tomorrow on the afternoon show, you'll open up like, Patriots get the win, but there are some questions. Yes, you will.
I don't have a single question. I think this team came out and answered the challenge, and I think the head coach, as you reference, continues to push buttons, and I thought that came out. Did you hear the answer about Durden? He goes, yeah, we took Durden from the Giants. You know,
he
wasn't good enough to play on the Giants. Well, we thought he was good enough to play on the Patriots, and that's that insinuation. He wasn't good enough for the 2-11 team, but we thought he was good enough for the 11-2 football team. That, like, he continues, and right there, you know what he just earned? Some love from Durden. Like, there's he just banks this love, and that's how you end up with 53 guys willing to do whatever the hell you ask of them in any given game, on any given night, in any given temperature. He is Mike Vrabel's putting on a master course in coaching.
I actually think one last question before we catch up to the break, and then I see the lines that are jammed up. We're going to get to all
of
you guys.
Please be drunk.
Jakes, Agrini, Adam, and David. Don't you guys go anywhere. I'm sure there's plenty of people waiting in the queue. Zach, get your finger ready on that dump button, buddy, because it could be a fun one tonight. Looked like it was cold down there, and I'm sure people had their tailgate pre- and post-game beverages flying and gliding tonight.
It's going to be Thursday night all over again.
100%, and I'm all for it. Corey Durden, now my second official favorite, Durden next to Tyler as well. Guy looked like he belonged on an NFL field to me. Didn't feel the absence of Tonga or Milton Williams nearly as much tonight. Did any aspect of the replacements, the fill-ins, the veterans, the backups, etc. tonight catch you off guard? Did it fill you with more confidence, or was it just sort of like, because to me, Andy, the operation tonight with backups on the line, the operation with replacements on the defensive line felt pretty much the same. And as a matter of fact, maybe some of the other linebackers and Hawkins with that with a hit that incidentally was roughing when he popped, I want to say Theo Johnson, the tight end, he knocked the ball loose as Craig Woodson was trying to make a play on the ball. Like, they were flying all over the field tonight. Everybody brought the extra little something you need when you're a couple of men down in a primetime showcase when you want to prove people wrong. That right there is a testament to your point of Vrabel putting on a master motivation class with his first year coaching the Pats.
And also, we need to say it again. I think I ended the WEEI afternoons with it late in the show. Doug Marrone continues to go down Dante Scarnecchia Boulevard, where it's like, hey, by the way, coach, you're going to be missing two starters, and your center, he's sick. He doesn't feel great. But can you guys go out there and block Sexy Dexy or whatever, like, and just get the job done?
And deal with Carter and Burns? Yeah, they saved him a house on the cul-de-sac on Scarnecchia Boulevard. Wasn't that nice?
It's tremendous, and I don't think Doug Marrone gets enough credit. And meanwhile, it also gives us retrospectively a look at why things were so bad for a while. Is part of it was offensive line talent, but offensive line coaching. There was such a crap show going on in the trenches. When you get this, it makes everything more doable. And I'm not taking anything away from Drake May, but you know, this game could have been undermined by the offensive line. And Doug Marrone, Vidarian Lowe, Ben Brown and company said, no, next man up. We're good enough. We'll figure it out. We'll make it work. And they did. And I think the credit for this victory has to start at that. Because I'm telling you, you watch a lot of football too. You see the games where the announcer goes, yeah, and actually the Seahawks will be down two starters on the line tonight. Right there, you're like, oh, the Seahawks are in trouble. Oh, they're not going to play very
well. It's going to be a long one for Sam Darnold. Or you watch a game like the Black Friday special with the Bears going to Philadelphia and kicking the crap out of the Eagles. And in the highlights, you see two 100-yard-plus running backs, and you think, man, offensive lines, it's really boring to talk about sometimes, but it really does make the biggest difference in the world. And you saw it tonight as well, coaching up the backups.
Yep.
It seemed pretty symmetrical to me, so hats off to Doug Marrone and the entire Patriots coaching staff. Okay, those are our opening thoughts. You heard from the coach, you heard from the quarterback, you heard from the two knuckleheads behind the program. Now it's all about you when we come back at 617-779-7937. Like we said, Lions are all jammed up, but we'll do our best to get through the calls and welcome in more of you Foxborough Fanimals and Patriots people who enjoyed yourself an 18-point dub tonight down at the Razor. And also, we do need to tip our hat to someone who didn't get much mention in the opening segment tonight. When we come back, let's hear about not only one of the Patriots' top Pro Bowl vote-getters, their top defensive Pro Bowl vote-getter, who is now the NFL's all-time leader in punt return yards by average. He had himself a night. We're having a night. Happy to have you aboard here on the Six Rings Postgame Show. Don't go anywhere.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is the Six Rings postgame show on WEEI.
Yeah, we're going to get Marcus going on. We got to pop one of these punt returns again.
Dillon hits it. And the return by Marcus Jones. He can fly. Still going. Still going. No flags. Touchdown, Patriots.
I am such a Black Eyed Peas fan. I am a card-carrying member of the Marcus Jones fan club. We have the privilege, the honor, the joy of talking to him each and every Patriots Monday. Of course, this week, Patriots Monday will be on a Tuesday, so don't miss any of WEEI afternoons, as the old Fitzy and Hart combo will have Drake May the quarterback. We'll play May or May Not. We'll get to talk to Marcus Jones, who now, Andy, thanks to some stats tweeted out by a bunch of people that follow the Patriots and know more about stats than us combined, particularly Mike Reese, God love him. Marcus Jones is now the NFL's all-time leader in punt return average at almost 14 yards per punt, thanks to his 94-yard punt return for a touchdown, his third in his career, and that was Mike Vrabel on his Monday appearance following the win in Cincinnati, speaking with the Greg Hill Show crew, talking about how he wanted to get Marcus going again and get him a touchdown. And lo and behold, that, of course, after he had a pick six against the Bengals. I think it's crazy to think that somebody who could very well end up on the Pro Bowl this year, he's their leading defensive Pro Bowl vote getter over Christian Gonzalez. We'll get to your guy later on in the show. That this guy, it's a borderline all-pro season the guy is having at the nickel slash star slash slot cornerback. He just got paid. Guy is having an awesome season, and yet, call me crazy, is he a little bit underrated?
Absolutely. Absolutely underrated. Although I did like that I saw our boy Ross Tucker, former weekly interview last year on WEEI Afternoons, tweeted out that he still can't believe the Patriots got it done with Marcus Jones for only $12 million a year as a slot corner.
Steal of the century at this point?
It's a very good deal, and you know what is, I'm not saying it. Forget it. Move on. I almost jinxed it.
No. You are not allowed. It's in the charter. If you read the rule book before the show tonight, you would have known you're not allowed to bring a flame take to the table and then abort mission and pull the canopy, Maverick. No,
not
sorry.
A flame take, just something you were going to blame me for later, so I'm not going to say it.
I'm going to do that regardless.
They are fortunate to have him.
They are.
Making plays.
That's a nice thing to say, Andy.
Yes. And, he's a really good spark of a player for them. But the thing that I keep sticking out for me for this team is the guys, the areas, the ways that they're continuing to show they can beat you. And we've done some of those 2001 comparisons, but this team has some of that where this was a nice complimentary game where you got huge contributions in all three phases. And that's how you make a game snowball. Mm-hmm. That's how you avoid being in like a 18-15 dogfight and instead you're in a 30-15 cakewalk is you get a punt return. You get a big hit in coverage that knocks the ball free, so you steal another possession there. Like, that's how those things, even if you're not perfect in the red zone or other areas, that's how you snowball wins.
Send a message with a thump like Ellis did, Carlton Davis did. Remember Gonzo popped, he allowed Wandale Robinson. That was a nice pop. That was a nice pop. He even kind of walked over him.
He felt himself there.
Teetered on a taunt. Teetering on a taunt.
No, I liked it.
It was a taunt teeter. It was a taunt teeter.
I feel like we're going back in, you know, the big hits, the hits on QBs on the sidelines, a little hint of taunting. Well, maybe we've gone through like the PC era of football, and maybe I should thank somebody who's in the White House for a new generation of football, but maybe we're going back. No. I didn't say it. Right. It's late. I don't want to get people riled up. They might start swearing.
Just because it was a recently 11:45 and then 11:47 doesn't mean you're allowed to mention it at this point.
But no, I think like I like this game tonight. I liked the style of this game tonight.
We're back to the bat flip era of football where you can sort of like make it. It's not like we're not doing like, you just got jacked up, bro. We're not so egregiously back during that, you know, the pre-concussion era per se. But yeah, no, it's good. They're letting them play a little bit more. And I think the Patriots responded to it as well. And that'll be another part of this identity that continues to evolve in a positive capacity. Okay, as promised, let's get you Pat's people that watched all over the world at Gillette from home and beyond involved here in Six Rings. He was kind enough to call in during the afternoon show. And then, of course, he had to follow suit and double down with a post-game check-in. Jake in Australia, you get the rights of being the first caller tonight on the post-game show. How we do? How's Tuesday looking? Is it better with the Patriots win in hand?
It is so good, but the fact that I know there's going to be so many people that have had a few beers call up and I haven't had one hurts a little bit.
Well, that's because you're like in the middle of your workday, right?
It's never too late. Grab a beer.
Yeah, it's about 4 p.m. and I'm about half an hour off knocking off, so...
Let's go.
It's been a good day.
It's been a very good day. Jake, let me ask you real quick. What was your favorite part about tonight's win?
Oh, Christian Ellis, that hit is the best hit we'll probably see all year, I reckon. Everyone in the team did.
And make that another part of the post-game show, Jake. Thanks so much. Glad you enjoyed it. We're happy to have been parts of several elements of your Tuesday as well. Enjoy. And when you knock off work in about a half an hour from now and crack your first oil can, think of your old pals, Fitzy and Hart, still here in the post-game show. Wishing we were having one with you, buddy.
Absolutely. Cheers, fellas, and let's go Pats.
All right. Enjoy that bye week, brother. That's Jake from Australia checking in on the post-game show, 617-779-7937, if you want to jump in on his line. One more call before we catch the midnight hour break, Andy. Oh, here we go. This one sounds like fun. Greeny is in Southern California. That's a nice part of the country and a very large general area to be in. Greeny, what's going on? Welcome to the postgame.
Gentlemen, how are you?
I don't know. Who,
good
I don't
to
know
hear you guys said, out on.
Yeah, I don't know who the gentlemen are, but it's good to have you.
We'll do.
I'm enjoying a little rooting juice out here in SoCal. That was a fabulous game, but I got to tell you, my highlight was the coin toss. It was awesome. I mean, even though the Giants won the toss, at that point they should have just elected to go home. I mean, I think that would have been a smart play call right there. Right there. What a fabulous game. Balanced. I mean, all three phases of the game. We were laying people out left and right. It was fantastic. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but man, I'm enjoying this, you know, I'm enjoying this so much that it's going to be tough to get through a bye.
Yeah, it will be a difficult bye, but the team obviously needs it, and it'll be a great time to catch up on the rest of your holidays. Greeny, thanks so much for the call. Enjoy that bye, and especially get set for what should be a pretty intense, pretty awesome final run. There won't be any easy games, Andy, because, you know, the Jets are proven feisty. Old Big Kick Nick knocking 1-3 yesterday in their upset over Atlanta, although, let's be honest, the Falcons kind of suck. I don't think Miami's playing for much at the end of the year, but we'll see. And then, of course, you have your two big games in a row against Buffalo and the Ravens.
Yeah, no, they are there was this Will Campbell injury, Jared Wilson injury. Oh, my God, are they going to go on a three-game losing streak here? Is there bad things to come? Or is this, you know, the depth of the team finally going to be tested in ways that it can't overcome? And for one night against, yes, a two-win football team. But a two-win football team that made a lot of other teams. Did you hear Mike Vrabel? I don't know how many wins they have, but I saw them score a lot of points against this team and that team. And I saw Denver have to come back, and they had this team on the road. Like, you made it look easier than a lot of teams that have played the Giants this year. And that's what you are supposed to do when you're a good football team. On Monday Night Football, looking to go into the bye with some momentum, looking to put yourself in position to win the games. What did Drake May say? Is they really start to matter here? I think he said, yeah, they really do start to matter because you're getting close. You're getting real close to, oh my God, the number one seed is a legitimate possibility.
It's December.
Oh, it's here.
We're not even just in Should we say like the, oh, you really get to know your football team after Thanksgiving. That's when it really starts to matter. That's when it really counts. Okay, we're there. It's also December. The Patriots have four games in the regular season left. They might be the first team to qualify for a playoff spot. You can't put an asterisk next to their name yet, but you're pretty damn close. And they, yeah, it's still far off on the horizon. It may be up on in a mountain vista, but the number one seed is out there.
All and gotta, like it's everyone there. Else is flawed. That's the other. You're good. You're a good football team.
They're not.
And perfect. Everyone else is a questionable football team. Has questions. And so I'm not saying I don't want anybody. Hart's become a homer, or he didn't get enough sleep, or he's drunk, or any of those things that people
all
will
could
say.
Be true. You never know.
They could be true. They're not true right now necessarily. Mm-hmm. But
that's,
you know,
what romantic drunks always say.
There's no reason to think this team can't beat anybody out there. Now, right. I'm not saying they're going to. I'm not saying they're going to go on a run. They're going to win a Super Bowl, and they're going to win two playoff games. And then, like, but they're capable of it. You should at least be able to think about it. Who in the AFC can't you beat? I don't know if that's proper English, but I don't really care. It's 12:02. Who in the AFC can't you beat?
We will get to that question and so many more on the other side as we get into hour number two. It's a great tease, Andy. Maybe you should do some afternoon show hosting sometime. Might
if I show
fun.
Up.
they tell us where to show up and when to talk, and we do our best. We'll get to that in hour number two of the postgame show, plus the rest of your calls. We'll take a look at that schedule. We'll see what everyone else's schedule looks like as well, as your New England Patriots at 11-2 have the best record in the AFC East. The AFC, the NFL overall, winners of 10 freaking straight games. Sexual chocolate. And the one seed and that playoff bye are in hand. It's time to stop apologizing for how good these Patriots are and embrace them as the gift they are for this holiday season. Fitzy, Hart, producer Zach, back in the studio, and you, hour number two of the Six Rings postgame show, coming up.
This is the Six Rings postgame show on WEEI.
Well, I don't know how many wins they've had. I know that they get ahead, and they were had Denver beat and had some other teams beat, put a bunch of points and yards up on Detroit. You know, Chicago and all those other teams. So it was about just being aggressive and attacking and, you know, trying to keep a competitive stamina throughout the game and a demeanor no matter what happened. And I like the way that we started and like to finish a little bit better. But we're doing a lot of good things to help us win. And I know there's some things that we can do to continue to improve on.
Appropriately calculated and proper perspective once again delivered by our choice for Coach of the Year in the NFL 2025, Mike Vrabel, coming off the Patriots' 33-15 victory over the New York Football Giants on Drake May's Monday Night Football debut. Welcome to hour number two of the Six Rings postgame show, live here on Boston Sports Original, 93.7 FM, WEEI, WEEI.com, and of course, heard frequently and all the time, whenever you want. Really, it's your choice, your convenience. On the Odyssey app, if you miss any of the show, you want to share it with your friends, say, hey, there's this fun postgame show with these two guys who sound like they haven't slept in weeks, but they love their football. Just make sure you subscribe to the WEEI Afternoons podcast, or especially Six Rings and Football Things on Apple Pods, Spotify, and beyond. See, there's that sort of like, there's a spin on that mentality Mike Vrabel has brought to the season, the whole like, no, I don't care if you won by one or you won by 100. Every win in the NFL is difficult. Everyone in the NFL deserves to be celebrated. I haven't seen the video yet of him dapping everybody up. I haven't seen his post-game speech yet. We'll try to get you that before the post-game show is over. But that right there, like, well, the Giants, you know, I don't know how many wins they've had before. They played a lot of close games. That, you know, they're a competitive football team. They came out tonight. They tried to win too. We were just better tonight. There you go. Like, he just keeps it. You know what? Without making it football for dummies, Andy, I would say a lot of dummies can understand how being a winning football coach is handled thanks to Mike Vrabel this year.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the whole idea, we're going to learn from victories so we don't have to learn from losses, and nothing is perfect over 60 minutes, and, you know, you can do some good things, and you've earned the right to celebrate those good things when the scoreboard says you finish with more points than the opponent. But as a professional, you've also earned the right to have your coach come at you with the things that didn't go well and things that you need to clean up, things that could cost you down the road, because people like Andy Hart are getting excited on the radio that he's asking, is there anybody that you can't beat in the AFC? No, there isn't anybody you can't beat. But
you can beat yourself. You can make mistakes. You can fail to score in the red zone, and then the other team might take advantage of that if the other team's a little bit more talented or has a little bit more stable quarterback than the Giants or some of these other teams you've played. So, yeah, the thing I do like about Vrabel is it hasn't reached a, and correct me if you disagree, a performative state with him.
No.
Like he feels like he's just coaching. He feels like he's just doing what he thinks he's. Now, could it reach a performative state? If they go where he'd like them to go, and next year again they're 11-2, and the year after they're 11, could it start to be T-shirts and slogans and too much crap? Maybe. But right now, I just think he's a head coach who really likes his team and likes the opportunity he's received to coach this team.
Yeah, I don't believe we're going to see him, hooting and hollering, dancing and jumping around with his players in the locker room, ripping off his shirt, repeating his mantra, which now, of course, is seen on T-shirts all over television and the great windy city of Chicago. Hey, listen, and if good, better, best, and the best never rests, you know, if that whole thing is working for Ben Johnson and the Bears, good for them. That's what works. This is what's currently working for Mike Vrabel and this particular team. They are lump sum bought in. And right now, if you were to have a Super, I love the fact that if you were to have a Super Bowl, it would be, if you're going to like take the number one seeds and say right now, the math says these are the two best teams, it would be a Super Bowl 20 rematch. Now, I know the analytics say neither team is the favorite to represent either of their conferences respectively, and that's fine. But Bears Patriots 40 years later, hell yeah, I'd sign up for that twice every day that ends in AY.
It's also nice when we're right and the consensus was the two best coaches available in the offseason were Ben Johnson and Mike Vrabel. And
yeah,
certainly looks like Ben Johnson and Mike Vrabel are doing a nice job.
Back to the phones we go.
I don't know who Ben Vrabel is, but I bet he'd be a good coach too.
Is there a Ben Vrabel? Have you met Mike Johnson? Oh, yeah.
Nope.
He's the Speaker of the House. Yeah. Well, we'll see how long that works out. Back to the phones we go. Listen to this happy fella, Jake in Boston. He's got big February dreams, Andy. Welcome to the postgame, Jake.
The team's been running on vibes. And, you know, listen, the schedule's been easy. You got lucky, you ducked Joe Burrow last week. You're getting a lot of breaks. But the 2001 team ran on vibes, too. And didn't that press conference that Drake just gave you seem a little bit like 2001 Tom Brady, very humble, very, very, very humble and gracious? Tonight was impressive because the Giants have, I think, 7-1 score losses. They played good teams. They played a much better schedule than you have. Those one score losses include Denver, Detroit, Dallas, Green Bay. Like, they played a good schedule. And tonight wasn't even close. Tonight was the first time I thought, hey, maybe this team could go to Santa Clara. And credit to old friend Mutt here. Mutt had a great tweet tonight where he said Drake May kind of plays the position like a point guard, where when he is in the middle of a play, he's got a different level of vision. You know, Tom was great before the play. Tom was great dissecting and analyzing the play. But as the play is going on, Drake is a point guard. And I think that is, it's more Mahomes than Brady-like, and it gets you really excited, obviously, about Drake in the long term. And then one last point. I want to talk about our favorite thing, the Wags. You know, Giselle used to be the queen bee around here. Then Linda got jealous and forced Tom out. And we had the Chantal Mayo moment, who dropped the ball except for that great elaborate holiday party last year. I saw photos tonight of 14 Wags together. And it started with the queen bee, Ann Michael May, all the way down to CJ Dupree's girlfriend, Riley, number 53 on the 53-man roster. They are together as 1-2, and this is a group that's behaving and baking cookies, and their contribution is, hey, maybe make some M&M cookies, as opposed to let's go out and let's drag our spouses around so we can be socialites like Linda used to do with Bill or Kennedy Stidham, or, you know, it's so much better. The vibes are so much better here, and it's all the way from your quarterback and your head coach down to guy number 53's girlfriend. That's all I've got to say. Santa Clara is on the front of my mind right now.
How about that? Look what this, like, people, thank you for the call, Jake. You don't understand what's gone on. This team has been so fun to watch, so pleasant to ride along with, so joyful to experience the journey with, that they have literally taken Jake from Boston, the most tart of tongued, sharpest of snark that there is in all of Pat's Nation. And they've made him, Andy, a believer. And you know what? I'm kind of with him. The idea that instead of just like, hey, here we are, here's nine different shots of skinny arm and elbows out and me making Mac wear a tuxedo from the 50s at a special dinner, like, oh, you know, God loves Sophie and Kennedy's and all the rest of them. But the fact that Ann Michael May is like, yeah, I'll show up with Drake and we'll hand out turkeys. I'll bake my guy cookies, you know, and I'll be there at the game and I'll be such a welcoming mom, even though the girl's 23 years old. Like, they're just part of the vibe fest that is these Patriots right now.
The vibes are great, but you know what's even better? Drake May. Like, the vibes are a great story, but vibes run out usually. If Drake May is as good as he looks like he is, and we're now 13 games into the season, like, this is no, like, short run of wow, mirages, or whatever. No. He's a quarterback who completes 70% of his passes. He's mm-hmm. a quarterback that can make good decisions on the move, mm-hmm. helps out his offensive line more often than he hurts it. I know, like, people like to paint it as, oh, the only sacks they give up is when Drake holds the ball too. No. He helps his line as much as he hurts his line. Troy Aikman was talking a lot about it tonight, the ability he has to step up in the pocket, help the tackles. The tackles aren't exactly the greatest tackles ever. They're good enough, but he helps them out. But Drake May is really freaking good, and he may just have played himself right back into the MVP leaderboard discussion with the weekend that Matthew Stafford had with a couple turnovers and a loss. So, you know, vibes are great, wives and wags and whatever the hell Jake wants to talk about is great, but the greatest thing this football team has going for it is Drake May. You know who knows that? The head coach. Did you notice how... We talked about how he was late to the party to praise Drake May as the year, you know, week three, week four. It's like, okay, when are you going to start praising Drake May?
I'm fine with it so long as he's never unnecessarily critical.
Well, no. Tonight he was over the top gushing about the conductor of the team and learning how important he is to this team and this franchise. He knows how special the quarterback is, and that is the story of this season. I don't want to minimize anybody else. Football's a great team sport, the line, free agent class, the coaches. Mm-hmm. The story of this season is the best quarterback in the National Football League, wears number 10, plays for your New England Patriots, and looks like a budding, not star, superstar.
Superstar.
Absolute superstar. As our guy Ted said, just wait a minute, and you're going to get sick of seeing him. You're going to get sick of seeing Drake. You're going to be like, another Drake May commercial? Jesus.
Didn't he ask about when to the National? Don't you worry.
Nope.
Car dealerships, insurance.
Everybody.
Jake, wait till you see Drake from State Farm.
Yep.
wait till you see
Limu,
Drake from
Emu and Drake.
No, it's going to be Jake from State Farm. Meet Drake from State Farm. Nope. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, no.
He's going to be everywhere. He's a
everywhere.
Superstar in the making.
You're going to be so sick and tired of the billboards, the ads, the IG, and all of it. I, for one, welcome the onslaught, deluge, and inundation of commercial Drake, and I think it's going to be absolutely fabulous because he's going to maintain the humility and just that general easygoing aw shucks demeanor, I believe, all the way through it as well, because I've got lots of Foxborough faith in QB10. Oh, and by the way, on that subject of, like, you've got a star who's a budding superstar, you know what else you have? You have, you know, I was saying, like, the Giants came into tonight with house money, right? Because, you know, what do they have to lose? You know, a couple of guys like Mike Kafka, who went to the barber and had his eyebrows done so he could look more like a supervillain from the 1920s. You had a bunch of people basically just, like, coaching and playing to try to get a job for next year, but they had nothing really to lose. Sure, a football game, but the Pats had much more to lose tonight, and the Patriots hit hard and yet maintained composure as well. Our goal for this season was to see Drake May turn into a franchise quarterback and start to reach his potential. Holy smokes. I mean, he is so far, like, that. Like, anything else he does this year is, like, it's gravy because he's just far beyond any of our wildest dreams or what we could have possibly ever projected for him to do. Now, what is he, 23, 24 games into his NFL career, dude?
Yeah, no, his games, his age, whatever you want to measure it by, he's not supposed to be this good. He's not supposed to be this talented, make it look this easy. And that's why I love when these guys like Troy Aikman, guys that know how difficult it is to do the job of playing quarterback in the National Football League, watch his performances and are like, wow, yeah, when you see it in person, this kid's really good. The accuracy at all levels, really good. Everything he does pre-snap, really good. Mm-hmm. And it's only going to get better. There is not a single reason to believe this is not sustainable. Like, I used to think this wasn't sustainable, and now I'm like, I don't know. I keep watching it. Why is it not sustainable? He's a very accurate passer. Is that suddenly going to, you know, is this a weird Disney movie where the clock is going to strike a certain time, or he's going to go to bye week and come back and not have his talents? Why would this not be sustainable? I'm starting to question my own belief in how difficult it is to play football. He's changing the way I see the game through his ability.
Back to the phones we go. Let's check in with somebody who can report on the vibes tonight from Gillette, Justin from Rhode Island. Justin, how are you, buddy?
Good, Fitzy. How you doing? I just wanted to call and say, I just left the game. The vibes are back. Foxborough fans are back. We're singing Living on a Prayer while the Patriots are running offensive plays. It was just great to see. I love these Monday night games, and Foxborough is back, and it was great to be a part of.
Ah, how about that? What a pleasant report from the field. Someone who was at the game tonight, Justin from Rhode Island. Thanks for the call, pal.
Is it a good thing to be singing Living on the Prayer?
Is that it is,
good,
yes.
Good thing? Okay, just double checking.
He didn't say it was in tune or that it was in sync or anything. You know, Josie's going to make her way back out again as well. You got the Bon Jovi flowing freely. Yeah, stadium looked good. The reports I saw from friends who were texting photos from the pregame parties, they were a little sparse, a little thin early, but you have to anticipate it's tough to get the time off from work, fight the traffic, set things up.
Plus, people just took a week off because it was Thanksgiving or whatever, so they probably had to go to work on Monday. They couldn't.
We're all a little bit
larger.
Exactly. You can't burn a day. You just had a couple of days off. It's not like you can just say, like, oh, I'm going to need Monday off, too, so I can go put on another couple of pounds partying at the Pats game. That said, it's never a bad idea. One more call, and then we will make our way to the break, Andy. And, of course, don't miss it. Coming up soon as we head towards the home stretch here on the Six Rings Post Game Show. Andy's thumbs up, thumbs down. Of course, that's always sponsored by our friends at Cars for Kids. David is in Florida. Uh-oh. Sounds like someone has some criticisms. Hello, David.
What's up? First of all, what's this guy Jake from Australia? What's his connection to Patriots Nation?
He's a Pats fan that lives in Florida.
Patriot Nation has no borders.
That's right. It's a global thing, Pats Nation. He just happens to be a Pats fan that lives halfway around the world.
I thought he may have lived in Boston for a while or something. But it's awesome when people like that call from all over the place. Oh, yeah. But, you know, you can look at this game. It's either the glass is half full or half empty. I mean, I think they should have won by 45, 50 points tonight. That's how bad New York looked. I think that they've had an easy schedule. Yes, they're taking advantage of it. They've had an easy schedule. But then again, like you said, they constantly play complementary football. They're never great. The offense only put up 26 points tonight. They didn't do anything in the second half. They put up 3 points in the second half, but yet they played complementary football. The offense does just enough to win. The defense puts them in position to win. And special teams is consistent, too. But they're going to have to do better. I'm sorry, but they're going to have to do better offensively come playoff time because they're going to be playing stronger teams, they're going to be playing better teams, and they're going to have to be more efficient in the red zone. So the glass is either half full or half empty. I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm delighted that they're winning. They got a great team. They got great chemistry. But they're going to have to do more offensively come playoff time. You agree with that?
I do, in general, Matt.
Assessment, David. Thank you for the call.
But the glass is more than half full. The glass is like three-quarter full right now. You're 11-2.
You just took a big first sip, right?
Yeah, sure, whatever. I mean, I do they need to be better in certain areas? Yes, but I'll continue to say so does every other damn team they're going to play. You're going to have strengths and weaknesses. The other team's going to have strengths and weaknesses, and how you match those up in a playoff game will decide it. But you know, yes, they probably want to close out games a little bit better. That's a thing. Okay, mm-hmm. That's a thing. So they'll work on it. Maybe they'll do it. Maybe they won't. But they also, there's no rule you can't score 28 points in the first three quarters and then hold on for dear life. And guess what? It's still a win and an advancement in the playoffs. Like, there's no rule that says you have to finish the game or close them out or step on their throat.
You don't have to go 2007 Patriots scorched earth. It does make me wonder if Vrabel's philosophy or approach to these things is, look, the season is really long. 17 games, 18 weeks. Hopefully we play an extra month of football come January and February. Maybe instead of constantly putting guys in harm's way, going for it, or trying to throttle down in the late third and early fourth quarter to do as David from Florida just said and win by 45, 50 points, maybe Vrabel is just sort of maturing and is comfortable in lead management, Andy. I'm not making this as an excuse, rather trying to understand the rationale behind the way this team operates and what they do once they build a 3-touchdown lead.
Yeah, I don't think it's that as much as A, human nature. Sometimes you let up. Like, okay, yeah, we built a nice lead, and you kind of let up a little bit. There's a lot of different aspects to human nature. I also do think the cliche, like, the other team gets paid too. They're not necessarily just going to roll over and allow you to score 60 points. There's a reason that even 40 points aren't scored that often in an NFL game, certainly not 50 points or whatever, because it's hard to do. Like, or, you know, teams do take their foot off the throttle, whether intentionally or unintentionally. But we need to accept the fact this team is good, and we need to accept the fact that this team measures up quite nicely with everybody else in the AFC and, hell, everybody else in football. We could do bitch fests for every good football team. All 14 teams that are going to make the playoffs, if we wanted to, we could do a bitch fest about why they're not good enough to win a Super Bowl, why they need to fix this or fix that. Like the Eagles. The Eagles are the defending Super Bowl champions. The Eagles are a 8-4 team right now, I believe.
And getting their offensive coordinator is having rocks thrown at his house by the worst fans in football. Their quarterback is getting booed off the field with people calling our sister station WIP in Philadelphia saying that he needs to be benched and replaced immediately. And here are your Patriots after the long suffering of all 4 years where the Patriots weren't very good, now back as top dogs in the AFC. Patience, people. Patience. Trust the process. When the right people are in place.
The glass is 3/4 full. We'll see if they can fill it all the way up before they get to the Super Bowl. But sometimes 3/4 full is good enough, Matt. Enjoy the win.
Or David. That's fine.
David, Matt.
All of
everybody,
you.
Enjoy
you
it.
You people.
You people enjoy the damn win.
617-779-7937. We'll get to the rest of your calls when we come back in just a couple of minutes, as well as Andy's thumbs up, thumbs down. Of course, don't miss WEEI Afternoons tomorrow, where we will have Drake May and Marcus Jones, who we will hear from once again coming up in just a few moments. Of course, each and every Six Rings postgame show is sponsored by McFarland Energy. McFarland, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services. It's all available at McFarlandEnergy.com. Don't go anywhere. The Six Rings postgame show hitting that home stretch when we come back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is the Six Rings Postgame Show on WEEI.
Last year at the finals, Jalen Williams mentioned to me from the Oklahoma City Thunder, he said, the most valuable thing I shared with my teammates was my time, because we have nothing more valuable than that. And bonding away from the arena can have real value that then shows itself on the field. I mean, have you guys, sounds like you're experiencing that.
Yeah, I would say even like on our off days, like us DBs, we would literally watch film and have Chick-fil-A.
It's exactly what he said. He said him and Chet Holmgren, we'd come home and like do pick and roll video. I mean, like, it's not boring. It's important, isn't it?
It's very important. You know, you have to put in a lot of overtime when it comes down to this game, you know? You can't cheat the game at all, and you got to take advantage of every opportunity you get.
Patriots Monday, or occasionally Patriots Tuesday, guest Marcus Jones there with you with Scott Van Pelt on the ESPN Monday Night Football postgame show right there. See, there's another one of the keys to this team's togetherness, which, again, it's an intangible, and obviously scheme, execution, power, strength, and resolve get the job done first and foremost on the football field. But so does intelligence, so does experience, and so does want, will. And I hate to say the big V word again, because that vibes jar is getting chock full of quarters to donate this season. But the vibes, the camaraderie, the friendship, the fellowship that these guys have. Like, there was that piece in Mike Reese's notes that got aggregated by Los Savage et al. Earlier today, Andy, about how Harold Landry said best locker room he's ever been in. The fun these guys have, the energy, the charisma, the spirit, and it's just an awesome place to be. And a lot of these guys now truly believe that is translating on the football field as well as the great coaching and effort.
Yeah, but that's one of those things I always wonder, you know, chicken or the egg. Part of why it's a great locker room is they were a team that wasn't expected to do anything, and they've won 10 games in a row. They have 11 wins. They're the best team in football. Like, there was no expectation. Personal, you know, individual expectations. Guys weren't looking for this or that to, you know, the A.J. Browns of the world or the Eagles. Like, that, they faced so much individual expectation and team there were no expectations on this team other than don't be a four-win team. Show some improvement over a year ago. Develop Drake May. Take some steps in the right direction so that people can believe, okay, we've started the course toward being good. And now they're good. Like, you're even next year, you could bring this entire team back next year, and the vibes will not be the same. Because you know what next year will bring? Expectations. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be a double-digit team.
It'll be
you're
a
supposed
unique
to win
challenge.
The AFC East. But right now, of course it's fun. It's unexpected. It's just, it's free. It's so calm. Like, everybody, we'll see what happens moving forward. And that's why I would tell them, it's why I kind of said at the trade deadline, maybe go be a little more aggressive. Like, enjoy this while you can. Maximize this ride while you can. And we'll see where it goes. But no, this is a unique story about this 2025 Patriots. This is a really unique story. I don't know if we'll, you know, I guess around here you have to win a Super Bowl for it to really measure up to other teams and stories and things of that nature.
Dynasty complications.
But like, if this were the 1993 season and this were coming, you know, like all this unexpected 11-2 team, even if they didn't win the Super Bowl, it would be really embraced and cherished how special this team is, because they are doing something just so unexpected. But 2001 ruined that, because that team did something so unexpected that was, you know, win the Super Bowl.
And then start a double dynastic run that would spoil us in perpetuity and raise the expectations for any team that would ever do well in the area. Oh, well, I guess them's just the breaks. Sorry that you guys have to manage those expectations as well. I don't think this team would cower from them in any way, shape, or form. Back to the phones, to the 203. Mac is in Connecticut. Hello, Mark. How you doing? Welcome to the postgame. Welcome to Tuesday.
That's it. It is Tuesday now. That's right. I called you guys last week, and I got to apologize, I guess, to our fellow Vedarian Lowe, because I was not a fan of him playing left tackle, if you recall. And I thought he actually held his own tonight. Now, I think a lot of that might have been Drake May helping him out. I think it might have been scheme with Josh McDaniels. But overall, I actually thought that the kid looked pretty pretty solid out there. And then the other thing is, I'll be at the Bills game with my friend Zeb, and we're just kind of wondering, do you think it might get flexed to a 4:25 game, or do you think they're pretty solid in that 1 o'clock spot? Thanks, guys. Well,
hey, listen, thanks, happy holidays to you and Deb. Hope you guys have a great time. Hope to actually see you there as well. And if I had to guess, we mentioned it earlier in the show, I believe it's either 10 or 12 days out. The league and the networks have to coordinate on the flexualization, if you will, of the particular time slot. If I had to guess and put money down, or, you know, do something on my phone to wager, I would say yes, it does, because this is that's a big game. I mean, you're going to have Josh Allen versus Drake May, two MVP candidates, two of the top players in football for the AFC East, possibly with top seed in the AFC in the balance, Andy. That's my guess.
Yeah, my guess is that it would be flexed. I haven't checked the schedule yet, the totality of games that week. So I'm looking at right now the 4 o'clock games that weekend are Packers-Broncos. That's a good game. Lions-Rams. That's a good
game. That's a good game.
Colts-Seahawks. That's a good game. This is a really good slate, 4 o'clock game. I hope the game gets flexed so we don't have to miss all those games doing the post-game show. Good Lord.
You can't flex it to Monday night from a Sunday at 1, which
Monday
is too bad.
Yeah, it's too bad. It's a bad game.
Monday is a flaming bag of poop. Dolphins at Steelers. Sunday night is Vikings at Cowboys. Cowboys have become more fun to watch recently, so they'll give you at least a little something. But, yeah. Lions, Rams, Colts, Seahawks,
it
Packers
might stay at one.
They may have to keep it at one, because otherwise, you also have Chargers, Chiefs at 1 o'clock.
It's a pretty good slate of games. Ravens, Bengals.
Really? Yeah. Oh, geez.
Who knew December 14th was such a good Sunday of football?
Wow. I want to watch them all. Do you know what?
Yeah.
Move it to Saturday.
No, there is already a Saturday. Oh, no, there's Thursday. Yeah, that's not Saturday season yet. But no, that's now that I look at that, I think it's probably going to stay right where it is.
Actually, week 16, the following week, you do have a Saturday game, Packers-Bears. Oh, that's going to be what a great way to start the man, we are so lucky to just have so much good football to pick and choose from and watch in the coming weeks and days. 617-779-7937. You guys know the number if you want to text in your thoughts and feelings or check in with us on the postgame show before last call. This is our final commercial break before we wrap up the postgame show tonight. And when we come back, you know it. You love it. You set your alarm to it. You can't wait for it. Andy Hart's thumbs up, thumbs down to wrap up another successful edition of the Six Rings postgame show here live on WEEI.
This is the Six Rings postgame show on WEEI.
Hey Christian, what kind of message can a hit like that send to a quarterback or an opposing offense?
Make sure to slide.
Not a man of many words, but a man of many actions, many violent actions. That's Christian Ellis in the postgame tonight about his pop on Jackson Dart that sent a message and set a tone tonight for your New England Patriots. And I play that, Andy, as we head into thumbs up, thumbs down to wrap up tonight's Six Rings postgame show, because I have a feeling that he is going to be on your thumbs up list. And by the way, thumbs up, thumbs down, sponsored by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K, or call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS.
So, yes, Christian Ellis will lead off because we just heard from him. Was your leading tackler with 6 tackles, had the biggest hit of the night, or the 2 biggest hits of the night, one on defense, one on special teams, one that created a little melee there in the bench area and then set a tone, and then the one on old friend Gunnar Olszewski took a chip of paint off his helmet and my guess is leaves him in the concussion protocol. I saw some people on Twitter comparing the Ellis hit to the Brian Cox hit against the Colts back in 2001, if we're going to continue those comparisons a couple decades ago. But there's no doubt the Patriots were flying around. I thought Harold Landry was flying around. Christian Gonzalez was flying around. Defensively, they were laying the lumber a little bit, and even offensively to a degree. I think they were challenged in some form or fashion by their head coach, and Christian Ellis certainly met the challenge. Drake May, you could start the list with Drake May most weeks when we're here on the postgame show. As I said earlier, the reason you are 11-2 is because you have one of the best quarterbacks in football. Quarterbacks win at every level of football now, and Drake May is developing into a superstar before our eyes. Can't get over the hump. God forbid, he's only in the 280s yet again for passing. I swear someday he will throw for 300 yards, but it's even more remarkable, as Troy Aikman noted, that you can lead the league in passing yards without throwing for 300 yards passing. Like, he doesn't have this one game where he threw for 425 and that really fluffed up his numbers. He's always in the 200s, but he's always in the 200s. He hasn't had a stinker, really, either. So I thought Drake May was awesome with his accuracy, his decision-making, everything that went into it. And he did so behind a line next to guys that I thought were really good, Vedarian Lowe and Ben Brown. You missed two starters on the left side, but you didn't really miss two starters on the left side. You went out there, you ran the ball a little. It wasn't great. I still think they need to find a way to run the football better consistently on average. But the ground game was good enough. The pass protection was good enough. And so that rolls right into coaching. Doug Marrone, Mike Vrabel, Josh McDaniels. This team continues to be one of the better coach teams I see week to week in the National Football League. You're missing two linemen. Doug Marrone coaches up the next two guys. Josh McDaniels coaches around the next two guys and gets the job done. And Hunter Henry, save for the one drop that I mentioned earlier, he continues to be, I think he had like 73, 75 yards receiving, somewhere in that range. Continues to be maybe the go-to guy for Drake May most often, week to week, the guy that he's most comfortable throwing to with some regularity, and also looks like there's a little spring in his step for an aging tight end. You know, he was rolling down the sideline on that catch and run down the right sideline. It was like, huh, old man's got a little momentum to him. No disrespect, Hunter Henry, you're old in sports world terms, not real world terms, like the rest of us. But, yeah, no, he was rolling. That's going to do it for the bulk of the thumbs up segment. You could put a lot more guys on there because I think all around they played a pretty damn good football game for this team. A lot of options in the passing game. A lot of guys, little chip-ins, right? Stephon Diggs, Pop Douglas, Mac Hollins, all Booty, Kayshon Booty with the touchdown. Kyle Williams with the touchdown. One or two catches, but a bunch of guys with one or two catches adds up to like 10 or 15 catches, and that's good in the passing game. Now the thumbs down. Bryce Behringer, you kind of shanked one, and then your bounce-back kick wasn't all that good either. He had two punts for like 50 yards, 54 yards, a 22 and a 32,
This has happened
I think
a couple times now this season. The guy's pretty consistent and rather dependable, but Is this an issue?
I don't love it. But, you know, if you want to nitpick things that could cost you, a shanked punt in a possession game, in a postseason game, a one-score game, where all of a sudden you punt, but you only punt it 22 yards, and you give them the ball in, like, near field goal location, like that could really hurt you. The run defense was shoddy again. The run defense, they're getting pushed around too much now. I don't know if it's just Milton Williams, and we're finding out just how good Milton Williams is. I know Big Ted today was talking about, oh, the Eagles' run defense stinks, and your run defense doesn't look good over the last couple of weeks. Maybe Milton Williams is better than everybody really even knew when he got the $100 million.
'Twas no Kyrus Tonga, though, as well.
Tonga is my guy that I like to throw in there because I think he is awesome. But be that as it may, whatever it is, suddenly that run defense that was going to be like the best since 1963 or something is kind of porous. And it's not exactly Derrick Henry or James Cook that's running it down your throat. And Ramondre Stevenson, he wasn't great. He continues to lag behind in the rushing game. I had a couple good runs early, fell forward early. Then there was that series of runs. It felt like everything was at the line of scrimmage or even losing yardage. Yeah. He finished under 4 yards per carry again against a defense that, reminder, came in averaging 5.9 yards per carry allowed, and he was below four. So that's not good enough. Oh, one more thumbs up I forgot to get to.
Oh,
penalties. I think it might be a season low, 3 penalties, something we were bitching about week to week in the thumbs down.
It was terrible. They were in the double digits early on. They seem to have cleaned that up. Yes,
penalties. One, two, three penalties.
Just three. Yeah, your running backs tonight, Ramondre Stevenson, 12 carries for 40 yards. Travion Henderson, he's up at that average that was on par with the Giants' season average of 11 carries, 67 yards, 6.1 yards per carry as well. Will that do for thumbs up, thumbs down?
That is thumbs up and thumbs down for a very nice victory. I'm not going to let you or anybody else suck the fun out of this victory. That's a damn
negative
good win.
Nicholas, Fitzy the fraud.
Yep, that's right.
That's right. There you go, folks. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Brought to you by Cars for Kids on the Six Rings postgame show. Brought to you by our friends at McFarland. Andy and I will be back later today, literally, on WEEI Afternoons, we'll have Marcus Jones. We'll have Drake May. We'll have all the news, notes, analysis, and everything else you need as the Patriots put a bow on their first two-thirds of the season, almost three-quarters of the season, if you will, actually, going into their bye week at 11-2, best record of the National Football League, best teams, and we hope to give you the best afternoon show in support of that. Final score once again tonight, Patriots 33, Giants 15. Good job back in the studio on the home front, Mr. Zach Coe. Good job, Andy, at Jumbo Heart. This is your old pal at Fitzy GFY, Nick Stevens, saying thanks for listening to the Six Rings postgame show. We will talk to you later today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.